Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where? And that question I've asked my whole life, why? And tonight we're going to talk about the male and the female. Not like there hasn't been, you know, libraries and books and a lot of people call that have had their say about this. But I have a very special guest with me tonight that I feel like maybe can shed some new light on this subject. Are men from Mars and women from Venus, and we'll never ever get it right? But really, there are enough demonstrations of true love, I believe, here on the earth to prove to us that there is a way to get along here. My special guest tonight is Michael Monk, and he is the founder, creator of the Avatar Energy Institute. And he is a master of energy. That's what avatar means, is being a master. And while he says he's constantly, you know, expanding this, his information and experience in the field of energy, which we all are, of course, he's a lot farther down the road than most of us. And I'm going to bring Michael on now and have him say hello to you. Hello, Michael.
Hey there. How you doing?
You're here.
Yeah, I sure am.
I'm learning how to use this board here.
Oh, good for you.
To get you live. Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for coming back on my show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It's been a while since we've chatted, and I've missed having those conversations with you. I have been taking the classes at the Avatar Energy Institute and experimenting with energy. And I understand that you just finished up a week at your place in Texas.
Yeah, we had a retreat there for the students and spent 5 days getting to know everybody and teaching them hands-on, you know, what we do to complement their online training. And it's always good for the students to have a chance to fill in any holes that they might not understand and to get to see us do live demonstrations of everything.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us any a good story from the week's activities?
Well, probably my favorite is, well, there was a filmmaker that was out there, part of it. He's putting together a documentary that he's going to be releasing this summer. It's about real-life Jedi, and he's interested in us because we are, you know, are actually using energy or the Force, and the other part of his documentary is about a religion that spawned off from the whole thing. His whole documentary is about real-life Jedi. Anyhow, he's at our retreat and filming, and we had a cloudy, overcast day. You know, wasn't going to be any sunshine. There was, like, maybe just the tiniest little hole in the clouds, and I told him that we were going to bring the sun out. So we put on the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun, and turned up the volume, and then we started merging consciousness up into the atmosphere, and we just start spreading out, like we become the atmosphere itself by merging mm-hmm. with it electromagnetically and start expanding out. And then when the tiniest rays of sunlight begin to come through, you need to embrace those and tune out all of the other data. You tune out the gray, you tune out the dim lighting, and you just focus exclusively on that little bit of sun that you got to come through. Well, within 5 minutes, we had a huge hole in the clouds and nothing but brilliant sunlight streaming through, and that got captured on video, and so that was a nice moment.
I think that's the attraction today with all these movies that have all these superhuman beings, because I think there's that cry from within us. It's that truth that's there that cries out for manifestation, and I think that's why we're attracted to these super beings, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, and it's just a reawakening to what we really are, you know. And it's time. I mean, the Earth life, the way it is now, it just isn't fulfilling anymore, and so we need to become spiritual or energy again. We need to understand our nature and our purpose and retune, key back into what we really are.
Well, I have, I always go back to the beginning, you know, like, let there be light. And I have some information here that that these photons of light, could they possibly be male? And then once the bodies, once the photons create the interference so that the cells can come together and make chromosomes and make a body, that could be the female in manifestation. What do you think about that?
Well, as far as, you know, male-female goes, it's pretty much just two different body types we have that are naturally tuned to two different types of energy to train our consciousness to be able to do the full spectrum. So from everything, from all of my studies, all of my experiences, I've identified the masculine as vibration or as light and the feminine as love or as magnetism. These are the two primary forces that shape universes. This is how it's all created, by projecting vibration and then encompassing it with magnetism or gravity and literally holding it into form. So to me, the feminine is the force that molds and shapes and holds and harmonizes light, and the masculine is the light itself.
And I've had this idea that from the deep, that I've always thought of the deep, you know, it says the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep, and I've always thought of that deep as feminine, the part where the masculine energy brings forth from the deep. You know, and even in the Hindu religion, you know, their original God is the black, deep deity that brings forth everything. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's pretty accurate. I read through that Bible passage, and he's talking about the world being formless at the time.
Formless,
and that,
yeah.
Yeah, and that his spirit moved over the deep and brought it into being. Yeah, I would say that goes in alignment with my belief.
So do you think that there are any specific male or female roles?
What do you mean by, could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, I heard someone say one time that the female is the president and the CEO, and the male is the chairman of the board. And that the, in that sense, then, the female or the mother would be the one that's in charge of the company, so to speak, you know, the family. And then the father is the chairman of the board, the male, and father as the chairman of the board would be the one then that is out in contact with with the public. You know, the chairman of the board pretty much has to keep the stockholders happy. I thought that was an interesting picture of it. So in that sense, then, there would be pretty specific major roles, you know, if the female is the president and CEO, and then the, and she she ran her company the way she saw fit, and mm-hmm. then she took all those that information and everything to the stockholders, who then to the father, who then took it out to the stockholders.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've gotten things pretty backwards to how they were really supposed to be. I mean, from all of my understanding, the feminine consciousness, like I said, is based on structure, holding things into form, shaping things, harmonizing. So to me, the feminine is more suited towards leadership, direction, structure, all of that type of stuff. And what the masculine enjoys more is providing energy, you know, just being the storehouse, the big powerhouse that generates things and gets them moving. But it's actually the feminine that's better at shaping, structuring, and harmonizing everything. But, you know, on that same note, the day and age that we're in now, we've all done so many lives as male and female. We're at a point where it's all balancing out, and that both body types or both sexes are now starting to come into a point of balance. So I would say these sex-related roles are diminishing and, you know, just no longer does the body type determine so much, you know, what role you fit in, because our consciousness, all of us, is starting to really balance out between the two polarities.
And then that brings me to the next thought, which is, do you feel like we're both male and female?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I've got tons of experience to back it up. As I said on the last show, I am multidimensional, and I teach all of my students to do and become the same. And so when we put this body to sleep at night, we take on other lives, other simultaneous existences that we have. And once you do that, if you remember to look in the mirror when you're out of body, a lot of times you'll find yourself in a male body, or if you're female, you'll find yourself in a female body. So you begin to get direct experiential evidence that your soul is experiencing being both sexes.
But then I mean also right now, like you're both male and female, and I'm both male and female.
Well, aesthetically, I've got feminine in me, but my physical structure is fixed masculine. So mm-hmm. I can experience feminine, but it's an overlap to my male consciousness, and the spirit is a lighter overlap than the body. So I can experience being both, but while I'm embodied as a male, I'm always going to experience being more masculine.
Yes, your polarity would be masculine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I started running my business, I found I had to pull from the more masculine side of me to be able to run a business and, you know, deal with people and deal with clients and all of that. And I felt like I ran that more from a masculine perspective than feminine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to be strong, and I had to say this is the way it is, and I had to use that, you know, more powerful energy to run the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times when women do get out there in the marketplace, they seem more masculine to me. I mean, I can identify with that part of them because that's also what I've done in running my business. But to me, it's not feminine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is the best way to balance these, the masculine? And you say it's coming more into balance. How do you see that happening?
Well, you can just look at kids growing up these days. The males are more feminine looking. That you see less and less, like in teenagers, you see less and less big bulky, muscular, big-boned structure males, and there's more, they're more sleek and, you know, in more of a feminine type of body. And if you look at the women, their breast size is going down, their hips are massively diminishing. Like, if you just look at your average woman in their 20s or teens, their hips are getting slender, you know, more masculine. It's like both sexes are balancing out and becoming more neutral. Say that again?
What do you think that will lead to? Just an androgynous population?
I'm not sure about androgynous. That would involve a heavy amount of speculation there, but it's definitely going to lead towards more balanced interaction between men and women. I mean, that's for sure.
In our ability to communicate, you know, with each other, you mean?
Yeah, to communicate and to understand each other.
Okay. Well, do you think that the fact that the man, a man is birthed out of a woman, do you think that can help things more than this idea that we've taught that the woman comes out of the man's rib?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd actually, you know, made a recent post about this, like parts in the Bible where it's always when I shaped you in the womb or before I shaped you in the womb, and I'm like, you know, hold on here. It was our mom that shaped us in the womb, you know. Like,
yeah.
The
way, biological form.
Exactly. I was like, I said it really sarcastically. I said, I'm really going to step out on a limb here, but perhaps it was our mother that shaped us in the womb. I mean, the zealous masculine portion of our society has manifested itself throughout all of our religions and has really diminished the feminine side of things, you know, quite a bit. And that's just one other way in which it's been done. But, these things are going to diminish more and more when people just begin to understand energy and true spirituality better and understand that, you know, no life could be created without the feminine to be able to hold it all in, you know, that it's the feminine energy, like I said, that holds vibrations into form. If it wasn't for the feminine principle, then all light would just disperse and become nothing. Creation, you know, wouldn't even be possible.
I've always felt like the woman set the boundaries. I mean, in the home, the woman is the absolute dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the woman, I feel like had more power than she thinks she has now out, you know, trying to run the world. But in the home,
Yeah. She's
the absolute dictator and sets the rules and regulations and the boundaries. And then when she needs to, she can call upon, you know, the power of the masculine to help enforce. But I've always felt like the woman set the boundaries. As far as the children were concerned, and that it seems to me today there's just a whole generation or two that hasn't had very many boundaries. Now, I'm not saying this is a bad thing because we're certainly going to need to have some free thinkers and people that are not afraid to step across the lines, you know, in order to solve all the problems and to move on into this next era, this next, we're in it already, the new age here on the earth. So somewhere, and actually in your Avatar Energy School, you pretty much teach that there aren't any boundaries, right?
Yeah.
No boundary to the physical body, no boundary to the imagination, there's no boundaries.
No, yeah, it's all about losing those boundaries.
That's probably why we've been through this phase.
Yeah.
Is so that then we can maybe think in terms like that.
Sure. It's no accident what we went through, though. Like, having boundaries is a good thing. That's how a creation is actually made by...
Well, that's what a form is a boundary.
Yeah,
boundary
exactly.
Of the self, right?
So we wanted to know physical existence, and we also wanted to know how to recreate it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God invented physical existence, and we revered it. We wanted to be able to do it, too. So the only way to achieve that is to first map it out, and the only way to map it out is to experience it to the exclusion of everything else, and which is what we've been doing, having our consciousness completely locked into the fixed range of the five senses enabled us to be able to travel a linear timeline and experience a world of form. And it's a great blessing, but now that we've got it mapped out, it's time to expand the range of our senses again and remember the spherical nature of time and take everything that we've learned back into our immortal eternity.
Exactly. And and not just in our abilities to, you know, manipulate the weather. I mean, I've shared with you in the past how that's kind of gotten to be a common thing
mm-hmm.
for me at the beach, you know, because I just can't have any rain or fog or anything like that that ruin my bride's wedding. So my helper and I work together, and it's helpful to have two, you know, that'll agree about something. And so we've been keeping the sunshine and keeping the fog out and dispersing clouds and things like that too. But I feel like it's also to help to know that not only on the outside but on the inside of us that we have that same power to change mm-hmm. and affect our interior health and well-being as well.
Yeah,
don't you
well,
think
you
there's
know,
a correlation from the outer to the inner and the inner to the outer?
It's just what people got to understand when they approach all of this is that it is entirely beliefs. Now, some people get carried away with that and they say the only reason why we get sick is because we believe in it. The only reason we die is because we believe in it. Well, that's not necessarily true. It is all belief-based, but our physical body has beliefs independent of what our consciousness thinks. So the physical body is a preset pattern that we agreed to experience, and it is a greater embodiment than any of the other bodies we have, which is why it takes our soul about 18 years of constant feeding of energy just to grow one. So it's a physical cell has more magnetism and more light in it by like times 100 than our spirit bodies do. So we're infused in our bodies and controlling them robotically through the nerve fiber system. So currently, if we want to move our body, we actually move our soul first, and that causes energy to flow through the nerve fibers, causes the muscles to flex, whatever. Like I said, we're controlling them robotically. Now, when we're in our spirit bodies, or what I sometimes call our angel bodies, we own those bodies. In other words, we have a conscious magnetic presence inside of every cell in those bodies. Every cell belongs to us. That's not true yet with the physical bodies. We only have a conscious presence within the nerve fiber system if you're an average person, and if you're an energy person who's expanded past the nerve fibers, then we're starting to gain a conscious magnetic presence within the physical cells, and then it becomes really apparent as to why we're not masters of physical reality yet, and that's because there's more energy here than our consciousness can currently handle. So we've got to train. We've got to, for one, we've got to unify our soul with the physical spectrum so that we can feel it as being energy. Once we do that, we need to train ourselves to be able to handle the load. But once we finish doing all of this, the physical body will become a light body because the only difference between a physical body and a light body is if the consciousness has mastered that level of energy or not. I go to worlds all the time where they're in physical bodies. I'm in the same body as they are, but I can levitate, fly, shapeshift, walk through walls, whatever, because I come from Earth, which is a much denser energy than the world they're on. So when I'm experiencing that body on their world, to me, it's light. So it's all a matter of perspective, and we haven't obtained yet the perspective to be able to view the physical body as being light.
I think of my blood as being congealed light, containing the light codes. And when I go to sleep at night, I activate those light codes by speaking to them and setting up the vibration for them so that they can spin faster, you know, like the neutron or proton or electron in the cell. They can spin faster. They can go backwards. They can do whatever they need to do to, you know, sustain a high quality of life for me. Because, you know, I have a big birthday coming up next month. And if I think about it, it's like, it's a drag. But if I don't consider it from the standpoint of the mass mind consciousness, and I just think in terms of the life in my blood being congealed light, and that's what is energizing me, then I have a whole different perspective about it.
Oh, yeah. When you view things from an energy standpoint, it rewrites how you view all of existence.
Right. So
much more palatable that way.
Yeah. So I have yet to travel to another world that I know about, except in dreams. Do you actually do it in conscious awareness?
Oh, yeah. I do a mixture. Like, I'll wake up inside of at least one dream per night, and I don't really like the term dream because it's not really what they are. Dream implies that it's not real. what we currently call a dream is really a singular dimensionality. So if you're in an experience and you're not aware of your earthly existence, then that's a dream because, you know, they're real, and there you are making choices and decisions and carrying out actions and everything, but you're not aware that you're also asleep on your bed on Earth. So you're a singular dimensional being, you know, just like you are in the physical body. So it seems to you like that's the only existence, and that it's totally real from that standpoint. Now, when we wake up within a dream or become lucid, that's really bridging the gap between two different types of consciousness, the self as it knows itself in the human body and the brain, and the self as it knows itself in this other body. So when that gap is bridged, it opens up a whole new level of possibility because you're now multidimensional. So you're bridging intelligence and you're bridging energy between two bodies, which gives you a lot more access. Once I wake up within that spirit world or alternate universe or whatever, then I can make any sorts of decisions from there. I know how to travel between dimensions. I can go to other worlds. If I lose the projection, like, that's the big trick when you start waking up in your spirit time, is that it's easy to fade or to, like, get too excited or make the wrong move, and next thing you know, you're back in your body. I can just shove right back out of my body and go right back into the other dimension or into a different dimension if I feel like it. So, yeah, I do that pretty much every night.
So do you pick up any information when you're in these other worlds?
Yeah, I mean, I get lots of data like that, but I've learned to just shut it out. What I've found is these other worlds, these lighter worlds, they're more for rest and recreation than they really are for true wisdom. I mean, there's intelligence there. Don't get me wrong, but they don't have a clue what's going on Earth. I mean, none of them. We know, anybody that's been
following
New Age.
Do they know where you're from?
What's that?
Do they know where you're from?
Sometimes. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It just depends. Earth is sort of a legend in the universe. We're looked upon with quite a bit of awe and reverence. Most beings are scared to death to incarnate here because it's...
free will.
It's universally known as pretty much the most hellish experience that there is. One planet that I was on, when they found out I was from Earth, their jaws just dropped, and they're like, they had so much awe of me. They were like commenting about how amazing and powerful I must be to be able to survive such hell, was their exact words.
How did we get that? How did that come about? How did we get that reputation?
By having the types of experiences we do, this is the most centralized, most solidified experience that there is. Earth is like the central hub of the whole universe. And, you know, I know the telescopes say something quite different, but the people who look through the telescopes don't understand reality creation via the physical five senses. But Earth is literally the glue that holds the rest of it all together. So all these stars that we see, they represent whole other world systems, you know, other spheres. And Earth being the most solidified, it acts as the glue that holds all of these other worlds together. So because there's so much condensed energy here, it's a lot harder for the consciousness to know who and what it is while it's here. Such a compression of energy, it makes it harder for the consciousness to remember or have access to certain information, because when you're in these lighter bodies where information free flows, it's because the mind is less condensed, it's more opened up. So when you're in the physical form, you know, it doesn't really matter where you came from or how expansive your intellect was or what you knew. The moment you're birthed into form, you're going to forget all of that because your consciousness has been squeezed, it's been compressed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I've heard, though, that Earth is, that they're scared to death to come here because this is a training school. Earth is a training school for future cosmic rulership. And so you're going to be, you know, put to the test. You're going to have to go through stuff to learn how to be the type of ruler later on that can be put in charge of another universe someplace. And
mm-hmm.
So this is the training school area, Earth.
Well, it's definitely
and
that.
That's why we have a free will, is for us to learn to make the choices that are needed to, you know, be a benevolent but just ruler of something somewhere else. I mean, that's why Jesus came here.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Jesus is now in charge of the universe, of a universe.
Mm-hmm. There's many, many paths that branch off after physical incarnation, and you can become a creator if that's what you're into. That's what I'm into, and that's what I'm moving towards. And so I receive lots of instruction on how to create worlds, how to create species of consciousness, and
right.
Things like that. You can become an administrator, which is sort of
mm-hmm.
like an archangel, where you work in that end, like enforcement, rule structures, things like that. You can be a teacher. You can be a healer. You know, there's many different career paths that branch out.
And that the Earth is one of the prime places to come to learn how to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's such a variety of experience here. I mean, there's every kind of an experience that could possibly be had.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have that right to choose,
mm-hmm.
which is what begins to teach us how to be a creator, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
well,
other systems,
so
and I manage
I hate
some
to
of
think
them
that we're thought of as being such a horrible place. I read someplace where it's just all born in war and struggle, and you know, there's only a language of commerce and war here. And but I kind of have felt like a shift in that aspect of it. I've felt a shift out of that.
Oh yeah,
we've moved into the Aries Libra conjunct, you know, in mm-hmm. this new time. And that's a more peaceful, harmonizing way too than the Taurus Scorpio. So I've really felt a big shift myself, and a lot more openness in people's ideas, and they're willing to consider things that maybe they weren't, you know, 100 years ago. And I think Internet has done that, and has gotten us all more connected together, and a lot more the information age, which I now feel is reached its apex. We don't need any more information.
No. We need
We've
to
got
learn
enough
how to feel.
Now to do whatever it is we want to do. Now it's time to do something. tell people about your how they can go to your school before we sign off here.
Oh, sure. My website is avatarenergymaster.com or avatarenergymastery.com. Feel free to check it out. We got lots of video demonstrations where we do weather control, shaping clouds, vibrating water, moving objects inside sealed containers, controlling the directions of the wind, all these various types of demonstrations that we do to show that we have a connection with the external world. What we're all about at Avatar Energy Mastery Institute is teaching your consciousness to merge with the electromagnetic spectrum so that you can grow past your body and actually experience the external world as being an extension of your body.
Of
the
yourself.
Whole, mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes on a whole different meaning at that point to be able to feel sunlight, not just the warmth of sunlight, but be able to feel the light itself, to be able to feel the grass, the air, feel every molecule in the air. It's what we're all about is enriching the life experience and changing the notion. We're changing human consciousness away from separation consciousness, which is I'm my body, the world isn't me, you're not me. That's separation consciousness. That's what we've been in, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. Once the consciousness mm-hmm. becomes electromagnetic, everything comes into overlap, and that's what we call unity consciousness, because you see literally that you're one with everything, and that's what leads to advanced metaphysical abilities, as well as that it's the key to experiencing reality in a paradise way, you know, experiencing amazing feelings and sensations without needing anything external.
Well, and I have begun to understand the language of the other kingdoms, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom. Ways to communicate with them. They'll, you know, just my tree that's out here by my sidewalk where I walk out to my car, I've developed a real relationship there. And also with my car, Michael. I mean, you know, you don't think of some things as inanimate, but nothing is inanimate. Everything is animate. Everything is alive and has a field of awareness and an ability to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
And then that just really opens up a wondrous world of constant, it's like living just in liquid love all the time, because everywhere you look and everything you see is all in harmony and unity and in communication.
That's right.
Just with you. So yep. you live in this. It's not a terrible place. I would like to tell these people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Everything. You can live here in peace and harmony and in in loving associations and relationships with everyone and everything around you.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
especially with the age.
If I ever get to
now.
One of those other worlds, that's what I'm going to tell them. Okay?
Yeah.
We're learning how to do it here. Don't be afraid to come. We'll show you how. I've really looked forward to having this, having you be my guest again. And I want to thank you so much for coming. And I must do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Do
I was
you have
prepared
anything
for a 2-hour
you
show
to
here.
Say before we sign off here?
I thought the show was 2 hours, so this is a...
Oh, gosh, no. I've never, ever been able to do a 2-hour show. Well, yeah,
no, I mean, just thanks for having me. Remember that we have simultaneous existences, that the brain paints us a pretty picture of a singular space and time, but that's really not how it is. When you tune yourself and you start spanning more and more vibrations, you realize things, the simultaneous nature of everything. And that doesn't mean that linear existence dissolves, but that means that it gets complemented with a more rich and vast understanding, that to find your inner feminine, find your inner masculine, complete your own sexuality inside of yourself before you try to be satisfied with an external partner. If you go the other way around, then you're going to keep meeting partners that are there to teach you a key lesson. If instead you go inside of yourself and learn those lessons, then you can meet the right partner that's there for, you know, the purposes of having a long-lasting and mutually beneficial relationship. So fix the inside first, and the outside will come right along as it's supposed to.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's what I wrote in my book, Mr. Right for Me, and that's called 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, because if you're spending your time not looking for Mr. Right, but doing those things that are necessary to make you a whole person and find out what your passion is, what is your purpose here, why are you here, and what do you love, and then once you find that all out and you fulfill all of that for yourself, then you are ready then to attract a person like that, that isn't going to come in then and use and abuse you and not respect or treat you right. Because they will have already done the inner work themselves, and then it's two wholes coming together where the whole, then the new thing is greater than the sum of the parts.
That's right.
And I know you have that. That must be really wonderful.
It sure is. It definitely is. I'd like to also say love is something that you have and that you share with others. It's not something that you receive externally. It's something that shines out of you from within.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that, everything falls in place.
Mm-hmm. Because you send out that magnetic energy then that attracts that in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's right. Well, I guess we'll close off here. And I've got my music from visionarymusic.com. This is music that has been designed and created specifically to help people make changes in their life. And this is Marcy Ann now. I'm going to say aloha. And aloha, in the wonderful words of the ancient Hawaiian people, is hello, goodbye, and I love you.